The Lord has been at work in my heart and speaking to me and dealing with me. And a great meeting or a great advance is any time the Lord is at work. And that's the really the measure of it. Don't matter who's in a sense who's preaching or teaching and stuff like that. It's all about what the Lord is up to. And certainly I can attest, and no doubt you can attest to how the Lord has been meeting with us and just speaking through our hearts through songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and no doubt the preaching of His Word. And especially on this morning, I can appreciate the message that Brother Ed preached. Really spoke to my heart. And Lord knows, I probably never quite thought about it in terms of winning the battle against me, but I sure have realized, boy, I fight myself a whole lot. And that's been a blessing to me, and I wrote down some notes and some things that I know that's going to be a help to me. And of course, a blessing to my family as I win more battles against myself. Amen. Amen. I know that the pulse of this meeting is prayer and revival. And by no means do I intend to deviate from that, but I do want to preach what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And I'm not sure if I'm moving from the pulse a little bit or not, but it is the Word of God. And I'm going to preach what I believe the Lord want me to preach in this hour. And I hope that it would be a blessing to you as the Word of God come forth. With that being said, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 29. 1 Samuel chapter 29. We'll begin reading here at verse number 6 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 29. We'll begin reading at verse number 6 in just a moment. Following his faithless decision to leave Israel to escape death at the hand of King Saul, David spent some time living in the land of the Philistines. And during this time, David formed an alliance with Achish, the king of Gath. And because of this alliance, David found himself on the verge of fighting against his own countrymen with the Philistines. And in 1 Samuel chapter 29, beginning here at verse number 6, the Bible says, "Then Achish called David and said unto him, Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me, unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight with the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, He shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Look at me again at verse number 9 in this chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 29. At the end of verse number 9, the Bible says, "He shall not go up with us to the battle." He shall not go up with us to the battle. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I bless you and I praise you and I thank you, dear God, for certainly you have been good to us, dear God, during this these past few days, dear God, at this advance. You've spoken to our hearts, and Lord, you've helped us, God. You've helped me. And Lord, I pray even now, dear God, that you'd help me to die to my old wretched self. God, help me to cast my cares, dear God, my concerns, Lord, my fears upon thee. God, help me to get my eyes off myself, Lord. Help me to look to you. Help me to not be partial. Help me to not be a respecter of person or place, dear God. I pray, Lord God, that you would have free reigns in me and through me, dear God. Speak to our hearts. Have your will and way. Lord, I need you. God, we need you. Protect me, Lord, from the flesh, dear God, and the devil in this world. Have your will and way. And Lord, when the last amen is said, may we be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory in which thou art so worthy of. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. David and his men found themselves in a very awkward position as they marched with the ranks of the Philistines, preparing to do battle against the children of Israel. David had become so accustomed to living with the Philistines and like the Philistines that he was on the verge of fighting with the Philistines against the Israelites. But before David could carry out this act of treason, before David could do something, no doubt, that he probably would regret for the rest of his life, God intervened. And the Lord of the Philistines refused to allow David to go to battle with them. Therefore, they forced the king of the Philistines to order David and his men off the battlefield. Now, as Christians in America today, certainly there are tons of opportunities for us to overstep our bounds and form alliances with people that God never intended for us to be yoked up with, just like David did. That's why now more than ever, we need to be sensitive to the providential hand of God in our lives and recognize when God is trying to keep us from standing and fighting with the wrong crowd. Now, I was trying to keep from saying what I'm getting ready to say. I even borrowed my neighbor's pen and kind of marked it because my flesh was a bit weak and I didn't want to start nothing. But I feel like the Spirit of God is impressing this upon my heart just like he did in the study. So I got to say it. As we think about David and no doubt his men and them having formed this alliance with the Philistines and on the verge of going to war with the enemies of God against God's people, let me ask you a few questions. How many of you know that God does not want his people in this day and age in which we live to side with social groups that promote racism and hate? I feel like from about here to right there, y'all with me. Now, about right here and over here, either y'all didn't understand what I said or y'all are outskirt Christians. So I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all know that God does not want his people to side with social groups who promote racism and hatred? How many of you know that God does not want us to side with perverse politicians whose conducts and policies are contrary to the word of God? See, I'm going to tell you something. In this politically correct society, we need to be careful who we endorse and who we choose not to endorse. Because the church is losing her voice and the church is losing people because of our so-called political endorsements. Now, if I ain't preaching about prayer, then certainly I'm giving you something to pray about. So it's in there. I'm in line somewhere. But I see some of y'all that kind of sat back on me. You're leaving me. It's okay. God is with me. Here's the next one. How many of you know? And by the way, this is just the introduction. How many of you know that God don't want us to side with religious groups who stand in opposition to the true and living God and his people?
And since I'm at it, let me go ahead and throw another one out there. I don't know if this is in line. I don't know. But how many of you know that God, watch this now, don't want us upholding traditions that don't have nothing to do with the Bible? Now, if you want to leave, go ahead and go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 doors right there. But if you done made it through this, I think you can make it. Therefore, the purpose of this message is to help us recognize, watch this now, to help us recognize that God Almighty is intervening on our behalf to keep us from siding with people that he never intended for us to side with. You know what? If we live long enough, we're going to find out that some things God do in our life is not a result of our prayers. Some things God do in our life because he's God, and we don't even know to be praying about the thing. That probably should have waited later, but I just said it right there. I don't know. And as we take a closer look at this particular chapter of the Bible, let me give you 3 things. Number one, notice the disposition of David and his men. In 1 Samuel chapter 29, look with me at verses 1 and 2 together. The Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to a fete, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel," verse 2. "And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish." Now, here we find that as the armies of the Philistines and the Israelites got set for war, the Bible tells us that David and his men were in the rear guard with Achish, watch this now, to protect this heathen king from attack from behind. In other words, David's men, they had King Achish's back. Here I go spitting again. Some of you men that wasn't here yesterday, y'all was in the pastoral breakout. I told these men here yesterday that first of all, I haven't started preaching until I go to sweating. Yeah. And being a former offensive lineman, one thing we do is spit, and you just saw evidence of that right there. And I don't want no sweat red, amen. What was I talking about? Okay. The position or the disposition of David and his men. And listen. These men, David and his men, they were marching behind the lords of the Philistines. They were marching behind the Philistines' army, and their job was to protect them from attack from the rear. And here they were, God's men, on the verge of fighting against God's people. And I don't know about you, but the thought of David, the giant killer, a man after God's own heart, and Israel's next king, standing with these uncircumcised Philistines, ready to do battle against God's chosen people, Israel, is mind-boggling to me. I got in my notes, SMH in capital letters. And this text-driven society in which we live, you know that means shaking my head. Of all the places, David and his men could have been, here they were getting set for battle with the Philistines against God's people. Let me help with some. If David can get sideways in this thing, who are you? Who am I? If David can find himself on the verge of fighting with the wrong crowd against the wrong people, who are we? Who are we? And that's my take home here. As Christians, if we're not careful, chances are we'll find ourselves standing with the wrong crowd, on the verge of fighting against the wrong people. That's what's David. We see the disposition of David and his men. And there may be some of you, I don't know. There may be some of you, hear me now, you got some alliances in your heart. Yes, we pray about how we treat our wives and how we treat our children, but there may be some alliances in our heart, listen now, that has caused us to stand contrary to God and his people. And we need to deal with it. We need to allow God to straighten us out. You know, as I examine my own heart, you know what? I realize that I'm prone. I'm prone to try to side with the enemies of God's people and stand and fight against the people of God. And we see this with David. We see the disposition of David and his men. But let me give you a second thing. I think the message will build. Not only do we see the disposition, notice secondly the distrust of David and his men. In 1 Samuel chapter 29, look with me at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which has been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day." Notice now, when the princes of the Philistines saw David and his men in their ranks with the case, they were highly disturbed. It bothered them to see David and his men, so much so that they said, "What do these Hebrews here?" What in the world? What in the world are these Jews? What in the world are these Israelites? What in the world are these Christians doing here with us? By the way, a Hebrew is out of place when he is yoked up with the Philistines. And he deserves to be made uneasy and called out for being there. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. And it's sad to think that sometimes the world, in a sense, has to shine the light on God's people because we are out of place. They were calling David out for being out of place. They say, "What do these Hebrews here?" And I don't have a whole list that I have to go down. But you know there are some places and some positions that Christians ought not be in. And here was God's chosen people. David and his men out of place. Listen now, the Lord of the Philistines, they sounded the alarm because they knew that David and his men had no business being on the battlefield with them. Watch this. Even if David had forgotten. You ever forget sometimes? You ever forget sometimes what side you're on? Hey, you ever find yourself surfing the internet and watching TV or saying something with your buddies in the privacy of our home or in our little gatherings, and you mess around and say something, and it's almost like, "Oop, I done forgot I'm a Christian." Or maybe that's just me. But here was David, no doubt, living with the Philistines, like the Philistines, to the point that he was pretty much becoming a Philistine. And he'd forgotten. He forgot what side he was on. And here he was again on the verge of fighting God's people. And notice how quickly Achish spoke up for David because of their relationship. I won't read verse number 3 again, but here's the thing. When the Philistines said, when the lords of the Philistines said, "What do these Hebrews here?" Achish, he spoke up. And he was like, "Hey, David's a good man. David has been with me for some time now, and I can't find no fault with him." Well, you know it's a sad day when the world support you in your wrong. You know you've become too close to the world when the world goes to bat for you and defend you in your wrong. That's what we find. As we think about distrust, let me give you two things. I'm going to use my vocabulary at this point, so y'all bear with me. Number one, notice the remonstrance. That word simply means protest. But you know when preachers get the outline and we want to alliterate stuff and act like we got a little biblical education. And so I'm using a word right here that I wouldn't use in my daily conversation with you. But if you look it up, you will find that that word remonstrance, it speaks of protest. It speaks of an argument. And we see the remonstrance of the princes of the Philistines. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the princes of the Philistines were wroth. They got angry with him." Watch this. "And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to the battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men?" Listen now. They got angry. The princes of the Philistines, they made a forceful, reproachful protest, and they angrily argued with Achish, expressing their great distrust of David and his men. They say, listen, if ever there was an opportunity for David to get right with Saul, wouldn't it be with our heads? Man, we can't trust him. We ain't going to let this joker go out there with us because he's going to turn on us. Listen, they would not swallow the idea that their greatest foe was somehow now their friend, and that he would fight with them against God and his country. And so they put up this protest. Hey, no, man. Ain't no way in the world he should be out here with us. And not only do we see the remonstrance, notice the reminder from the princes of the Philistines. Look at verse number 5. They say, is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his 1,000 and David his 10,000. You know what was going on? These lords of the Philistines, they were reminding Achish of who David really was. Hey, they were there when David slew Goliath. They were there when David slew their champion. They knew who David was. And they say, hey, don't you remember? This is David. This is the one they sung about. Saul threw his, slew his 1,000, but David his 10,000. This man done killed many of us. What in the world he doing here with us? By the way, listen, when you set out to do something for God and you get involved in the work of the Lord and you do something for God and you decide that you're going some kind of way turn your back on and say, I'm through with all this God stuff and I just want to blend in and be like everybody else. Can I tell you something? The world will remind you of what you used to do. The world will remind you. It's almost like the world won't let you quit. They'll remind you. They'll remind you. Brother Hal was picking on me about the amount of food that it takes to feed me. Now, I know I might look like this, but I might surprise you. I went to lunch with them today, and I knew I had to preach. But I was trying to joke on Brother Harold. I'd have lost the connection I was trying to make. But you think about it. Brother Harold, you know, renowned author. I wish I had a picture of him. He looked like, well, I don't know what that man's name is with that white hair. Older gentleman, he's an actor. Sean Connery. Sean Connery. Stand up, Sean. There he is right there. Sean Connery. You was thinking that too, weren't you? He looked like a malnourished Sean Connery. I know what the problem is, and it ain't that Brother Vaughn don't eat. Brother Vaughn just ain't got Sean Connery's money. But I was trying to say, can you imagine renowned author Sean Connery, Brother Vaughn, writing all these books and for years being used of God to help God's people and all these prayer advances and revival meetings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of a sudden, he decides he's just going to put it down. He don't want nothing else to do with it. Can I tell you something? It don't have to be one of you. There'll be some random person who never agreed with Brother Vaughn a day in his life. So ain't you the one that used to do them prayer advances? Ain't you the one that used to stand up and testify and allow God use you to spark revivals in churches all over the country? They'll remind him. And I know it took me a long way to get there, but that's what they were doing. They were reminding. They were reminding the king of Gath of David's song. And here's the thing. Here's the take home here as we think about the distrust of David and his men. Here's the thing. Even the enemies of God's people have a hard time trusting us as Christians when we find ourselves siding with them. Listen, the lords of the Philistines, they wouldn't have it. And I said this earlier, I was getting ahead of myself. But here's the thing. The church is losing her voice because of our endorsements, because we are siding with the wrong people. And people, don't go to ducking your head. People in our communities, They know what we believe, and they know who we're endorsing, and they know what we promote, and they know our traditions and our so-called patriotism and our so-called culture and heritage. And we're holding on to some of the wrong stuff. And we're praising God for some of the wrong stuff. And we're hiding behind our so-called patriotism. And we're hiding behind our so-called traditions. And we're hiding behind our cultures. And people are learning better. And they're looking and say, hey, they got that wrong. And I don't want to hear a word they got to say. I want to say some other stuff, but I don't know if it's God trying to get me to say. I'm going to stop right there. Number one, we see the, what was number one? The disposition. Number two, the distrust. Here's the third and final thing I want you to note. Notice the dismissal of David and his men. Look at verse 6 and following. The Bible says, then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the lords of the Philistines, the lords favored thee not. By the way, let me just say this before I finish reading. Achish, this, and I don't know whether I know it's some guys with a stronger intellect and a greater ability to pronounce some of these words than I can. But I'm talking about that man whose name starts with A right there. He was the king of Gath. If you study this out, you'll find out that David had done fooled him. You'll find out in 1 Samuel chapter 27 that he was deceived. David had been lying to the king. And the king bought into his lies. He was standing up arguing for David and fighting for David. By the way, I don't know. I don't want to forget this. Where's Brother Ed Moore? Is he still here? Where is he? I don't know what you look like. Amen. You know how David ended up in this place, don't you? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. Let's make the connection. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. Look with me at verse number. Is it verse number 1? Yes, sir. That's the verse I'm looking for. Number 1. Thank you for helping me. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1. Y'all talk to me now. The Bible says, and David said in his what?
Heart.
Yeah, man, Brother Ed. You know what David did? You know how he ended up in this place? He lost the battle against himself. David talked himself into leaving Israel and going behind enemy lines and setting up shop with the Philistines. That's why, like our brother said this morning, we better be careful what we say to ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but I can talk myself into doing some dumb stuff. Now, did I just preach to me or what? Sometimes, I'm telling you now, maybe it's suicide. I don't know. Maybe it's just crazy, Brother Vaughn. But sometimes I either feel like taking a stick or a big knife or maybe even a gun and just beating myself upside the head because it'd be some mess going on up there. And David, he talked himself into leaving Israel. God then delivered him from Saul and protected him from Saul on many occasions. And more than that, God promised that he was going to be the next king, but David had lost faith in the promise of God.
That's right.
And he ended up living there in the land of the Philistines. And they gave him a city called Ziklag. And from there, as we turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 29, we find him having gone so far that he was on the verge of fighting with the Philistines against the children of Israel. But we see the dismissal. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, wherefore now, 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 7, wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. Here it is. The lords of the Philistines had spoken. They didn't want David on their side. And as a result, Achish had to tell David to leave the battlefield and return to Ziklag. But don't miss this. I won't have you to turn there, but here's a ray of hope, if you will, a ray of sunshine. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers the water. Watch this now. He turneth it whithersoever he will. You see, ultimately, this was God using the lords of the Philistines to order David off the battlefield to keep him from fighting with the Philistines against the Israelites. And guess what? At this point in David's life, David wasn't praying. We read in verse number 30, after he got back to Ziklag, that he eventually encouraged himself in the Lord. But if you look between 1 Samuel 27 all the way up to 30, verse 6, you don't find nothing about David inquiring of the Lord. But guess what? God in his great mercy, God in his providence, he delivered David from doing something he had no business doing. It was the Lord. It was the Lord using these lords of the Philistines to oppose David, to get him from the place that he was in, to keep him from fighting God and his people. And as we think about a dismissal, let me give you three things, and we come around our third base, the home plate. Number one, notice the disagreement of David. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day? That I may not go," don't miss this now, "that I may not go fight against the enemies of my Lord, the king." You know what happened? David was loyal to a fault. Can I tell you something? I hope y'all can handle this. I believe y'all can. Can I tell you something? There are times in my heart, watch this now, when I want to side with my race instead of siding with what's right. I'm going to say that again. As a black man, there are times right here in America when I want to side with my race instead of siding with what's right. How about you, sir? I want to side with my culture instead of agreeing with the word of God. Now that's something to pray about. That's something to confess and sin right there. And here was David being loyal to a fault. What have I done? Why y'all don't want me to go and fight with my Lord? He was talking about Achish. He wasn't talking about capital L Lord God Jehovah. He was talking about this man that he had formed an alliance with, and in his mind he deemed God's people as the enemy. You know, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when God's people look at God's people as the enemy. You know, it's a sad day when we find ourselves more willing to fight one another than we are willing to fight against the real enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And the crazy thing is, we size people up and we judge them, but we never met them. And we say, oh, because he's from this camp, then he must be like this. And you don't even know the man. I'm trying, Doc. I'm trying to unload the wagon. But I got two more sessions after this, so I got to save something. What I was talking about. The disagreement of David. Listen, David's heart was torn. David's heart was torn. But guess what? Guess what was happening? I better hurry up because I'm sure I done went past the time. Guess what was happening? God was slowly moving David out of the land of the Philistines. You read in chapter 30, you'll find him in Ziklag. And you'll find all that stuff that happened there. David lost all his stuff. The Amalekites had invaded. And David learned to encourage himself in the Lord. And before long, David eventually went back to Jerusalem and the land of Israel in the place where God wanted him to be. And God was slowly moving him away from the Philistines. God was slowly breaking these ties in his life.
He had formed alliances with the wrong crowd. We see the disagreement. Notice the second thing. Notice the direction from Achish. Look at verses 9 and 10. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Listen, David, you done been good. I appreciate you. But listen, the Philistines, the lords of the Philistines, they don't want you here. They saying, you can't go up battle with us. Verse 10. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. Now, I don't know this, and I don't want to do any damage to the scripture, but let me give you a thought-provoking question. I wonder whether or not there were people who followed David into the land of the Philistines, and watch this now, not because of death, but because of something that gripped their hearts there in the land of the Philistines, they never made it back to Israel. See, there are some people that follow us in our alliances, and they get sideways just like we are, and you might make it back, but they never make it back to the side of right. We see the direction. Notice the third and final thing. Notice the departure, or should I say the deliverance of David and his men, verse 11. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Can I tell you? The Lord was delivering David from his own mess. Let me give you the take home and I'm done. There are times when Christ has to intervene on our behalf to keep us from going places and doing things that we have no business doing. There are times when God has to cut ties in our lives that we're holding on to. As a matter of fact, over 2,000 years ago, Christ intervened. You know what he did? He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God here. I tell you, Christ died for us. It should have been you on the cross. It should have been me on the cross. But God, his great love for us, he took our place. He intervened. His blood was shed as an atonement, as a payment for your sin and my sin. Boy, if I could sing right now, I'd bust out, hallelujah. What a savior. But I ain't got it in my voice. Getting a little raspy. So let me hurry up. Listen, David was among the Philistines, ready to fight against the Israelites. But God miraculously intervened. And through the Lord of the Philistines, he kept David from fighting his own countrymen. Dear Christians, let us learn from this example. And may the Spirit of God help us to discern, or should I say recognize, when God is intervening in our lives. When God is intervening on our behalf to keep us from doing things and being in places he never intended for us to do. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Head bowed, eyes closed. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. Thank you for giving me the courage, dear God, to preach what you laid on my heart to preach. Thank you for helping us, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that we continue to be open and honest with you, dear God. I admit to these men, there are times when I simply want to side with my race and not what's right. I admit that there are times when I have a tendency to side with the devil's crowd instead of siding with you and your people. Forgive me of my sinfulness. And Lord, help me to let you be true. But every man a lie, dear God. Help me to realize and help this thy people to recognize, Lord, when you're intervening, when you're pulling, when you're tugging, when you're trying to get us out of being yoked up, Lord God, with the wrong crowd, siding with the wrong crowd, about to do battle against the wrong people. Help us, we pray, in your name. Amen and amen.